Blog Talk Radio.
We've been waiting for this fog to pass away. We've been waiting for the darkness to subside. We are building the road of a new day, but don't seem to know whether to go or whether to hide. Are we too busy? Are we too stressed? Or don't we know what to do, who to be, or where to go? It's time to understand, find out who I am. It's time to understand and do what I can.
Good day, this is John. Welcome to the program for this week. Today we're going to talk about symbols and hypnosis, false reality, and manipulation. Symbols draw on conscious and unconscious fascination with archetypes. These are powerful psychological images from human experience, such as male, female, father, mother, child, king, queen, trickster figure, evil, shadow type figure. These are archetypes, moon and sun and stars, major constellations of psychologically powerful images and ideas from human experience of family and tribe and small communities and their experience of nature and so on. And these archetypes get embedded in what is called the unconscious. Carl Jung, Y-U-N-G, was a famous depth psychologist. He was initially a student of Freud, the founder, considered to be the founder of psychoanalysis. And Jung had some very different ideas from Freud and eventually had to break away and go out on his own, to Freud's dismay. But Jung's understanding of depth psychology, I think, is more comprehensive, more holistic. And he perceived this powerful reservoir of unconscious images and ideas that he called the collective unconscious. He believed that we shared these images and added to them through from individual experiences of these relationships over time, and within human literature and art and society, these images became more elaborate and developed. And you can see, of course, images in art and music and literature throughout human history. Those in power have learned how to use symbols and the archetypes that they represent for mass hypnosis, for psyops, psychological operations, and manipulation of the people. Most of us are victims to some degree of this mass hypnosis. Symbols and signs are embedded in logos, both corporate logos, agency logos, government logos and images. For example, just look at the back of your dollar bill that you might have in your pocket and look at the various symbols that are embedded there. They appear in entertainment, in the media, in news events. Public officials sometimes will give signs and symbols and so forth just in their hand gestures or their behavior. Public poisons such as fluoride, GMOs, and aspartame are used to diminish intelligence and enhance the psychological control. Learning to recognize manipulative symbols and presentations of them, that include them, help us free ourselves from the deception to improve and protect our lives. Now, one of the most powerful use of these symbols and images is the annual Super Bowl Festival, which happens around the 1st of February every year, as it did this year. And that is, of course, Groundhog Day is a pagan holiday for the midwinter, and that is a powerful time for those that draw on unconscious symbology and such. And the halftime entertainment in particular is, for years, has been a gigantic ritual of using these powerful symbols and images, what are called the Illuminati, which we can elaborate on if you're not familiar with the term, is a secret society, a building on the Masonic tradition, which itself arises out of ancient Hermetic teachings, from ancient Egypt and even earlier Babylon and Greece, later these various Rome, these various ancient cultures shared these powerful images, god figures, and mythologies that gave color and form to many of the images that are used to embed these symbols, goddess figures, such as the most well-known one, the goddess Ashtar or Ishtar, related to the goddess Isis of Egypt, and the goddesses Diana and Columbia and many others. The images that carry on include the Statue of Liberty, the Columbia image at the beginning of Columbia movies, and so on. These goddess figures draw on the power of the ancient symbols of, or ancient archetypes of, Isis and Ishtar. But the Illuminati draw on these powerful ancient symbols, and including also the god Horus, which is the child of Isis. And Horus is represented in Egyptian images, art, and so on, as a hawk-headed god. Now, just taking the recent Super Bowl as an example of these use of these symbols, we had the Seahawks, whose logo is very similar to the hawk image of the god Horus, and the eye of Horus that is also represented to a less recognizable degree in the all-seeing eye at the top of the Illuminati pyramid, which appears on the back of the dollar bill. But if you just look at the dollar bill itself, you have the images of the not only the teen levels of the pyramid, but the 13, the number 13 is also a symbol that Illuminati has used for centuries. And there's 13 arrows, 13 stars, 13 bars on the shield. There's 13 multiple times in the images on the back of the dollar bill. Of course, the third original 13 colonies of the United States. It is considered that the founders of the United States had many Masonic participants, and some of them were influenced by the Illuminati, which were just getting really going at that time. The Illuminati are considered to have begun in Bavaria in 1776, the same year as the founding of the U.S., and it spread rapidly around the European culture, within Masonic lodges in particular, particularly the Scottish Rite, the portion of the Masonic organization that goes on to the 33rd degree, 32nd and 33rd degrees. And the Illuminati are said then to have 13 more degrees on top of the 33. But the influence of the Illuminati in the founding of the United States, and ever more as things unfolded, was how eventually, through ever-growing Illuminati infiltration and the relationship with the intelligence agencies and the bankers, which we'll get into in a minute, led to their being able to embed these images on the dollar in the 20th century, particularly under Roosevelt. He and his treasury staff came up with a lot of these images on the dollar. So we have these symbols embedded, you know, in our money, in our entertainment. Many of the music industry stars of recent years are treating this as a trend. You know, they think it's trendy to flash Illuminati signs and symbols with hand gestures, to use Illuminati images in their albums. These include the All-Seeing Eye, the Checkerboard, which is another common Masonic image. You saw that clearly in the Super Bowl performance with Katy Perry here at Super Bowl 49, which adds up to 13, by the way. And 4 plus 9 is 13. But the checkerboard represents the duality of conflict, you know, of good and evil, or left, right, Democrat, Republican, good guys, bad guys, you know, us against them. And it also demarcates a territory, and there are numbers embedded in the checkerboard that, you know, are like counting the number of squares and so on. And there's a lot of esoteric stuff with numbers. Numerology is a very important esoteric science to these secret societies, and particularly numbers like 9, 11, 13 are very important to them. The heritage of the leaders and operatives of the world, really, can be traced back to these secret societies. They include royalty, nobles, knights, diplomats, political leaders, and other insiders, bankers, financiers, industrialists, the ultra-rich, basically, many military officers, lots of the spies, and even high-level clergy and members of various esoteric spiritual groups. So these powerful secret societies have had a tremendous influence in Western culture in particular, probably just as well in Eastern cultures, but they have had just as much influence, or have included influence, in the monarchies, the governments, the militaries, the multinational corporations, the church. All of these have various secret societies that ultimately are interrelated. They, at the highest levels, have strategized and formed powerful connections forming these strategies and plans and executing operations. They're usually pyramidal in structure, with a serious commitment to protecting their secrets and growing their power. One very good example of that is the Knights Templar. They were the renowned secretive organization of medieval Europe, developed from humble origins to have a great deal of widely recognized influence for a couple of centuries. They began around the time of the Crusades, around 1118, and they were knights that devoted themselves to the service of the Catholic Church, particularly at the ruins of the Temple in Jerusalem and other parts of the Holy Land, during the period after the Muslims were expelled from Jerusalem, and it was brought under control of Christendom. These Templar Knights, they were initiated and would give up their financial holdings. Many of them were wealthy and very well educated, but they found they desired the power and prestige of participating in the Knights Templar operations. And their organization was supported by donations from wealthy nobles and also by hidden treasures that the Templars earned and recovered through their activities. So they were very committed to their organization and had many participants from much of Europe, but including especially a lot of French people, a lot of English people, Germans, so, and they worked throughout Europe and all the way to the Holy Lands, protecting pilgrims on their way to visit the Holy Land, developing ways for them to transfer their finances, you know, their means of financing their pilgrimage by methods of guarding assets or representing assets with paper transfers. They learned this early form of checking from the Muslims who had already developed it in their empire stretching from the northern African nations clear across to almost China. The powers that in the Muslim Empire that operated things had developed the trade routes and the methods of transferring ownership of assets by documentation early on in the, I'd say the 900s, perhaps in, you know, 800s to 900s there. So leading up to the time of the Templars around 1100, something. So the Templars learned about this and they perfected of this early banking as well as methods of intelligence gathering. They were working in the Holy Lands to maintain control and had infiltrated both the Muslim community, the Jewish community, the local Bedouins and whomever were in the area there to keep tabs on everything going on, and as well as in the routes along the way and so on. So they were developed systems of espionage and intelligence gathering and analysis that and also methods of banking. So from very early on, there has been a coalition of intelligence and banking together, financial control, and so you see that continuing today, where you know the intelligence agencies and the international banking system are very interrelated. So the Templars were very instrumental in developing European culture of this time. Eventually, they fell out of favor with the church, and they, even though they had developed their skills at security, military strategy, diplomacy, politics, espionage, financial matters, and esoteric spiritual insights, they also knew well the strategies of empire building and administration from their knowledge of Babylonian and Egyptian dynasties, the Roman Empire, and the Islamic caliphates. Now, their original commitment was a spiritual mission for the church, but they were not in the service of any particular king. They became known for diplomatic, community, financial, and security services for and between rulers and other leaders, as well as for their spying and intrigue, and with their knowledge and abilities and experience, they had an upper hand in running much of the show wherever they got involved. And their organization became very wealthy from the donations, the compensation for services, and the accumulated treasures from their military exploits. So with all the talents and expertise and tools at their command, it's not hard to understand why they grew to be very powerful. But like I said, eventually they fell out of favor with the church. There were elements within the church that became dissatisfied with their arrogance and that sort of thing. And their pursuit of spiritual power went beyond religion. And although they gave nominal allegiance to the Catholic Church, they got involved in a variety of occult activities, including astrology, astronomy, numerology, gnosis, the Kabbalah, alchemy, and more. All these ancient hermetic teachings from the ancient cultures. And they developed some images of their own, some symbols and references such as the Holy Grail. There were tales of temple knights who wore the rose cross on their garments. They became the forerunners of the Rosicrucian order. They had a secret ritual that repudiated the Christian cross that they outwardly served, and some believe they had become secretly devoted to idols considered evil, and even possibly to Satan or Lucifer. So, and in fact, you know, there's much to suggest that the higher levels of the Masonic orders, or the particularly the Illuminati, ought to be very involved in Luciferian reverence. Such stories were shocking to the outsiders who heard about these, and the Catholic Church, of course, was already beginning their Inquisition activities, and heresy was not taken very lightly. So as these temple knights became more arrogant and self-indulgent, they lessened in favor of others, and their integrity was diminished. And they eventually, King Philippe IV of France got them banned by the church, and they actually tried to round up as many as they could for incarceration and execution, including Jacques de Molay, the well-known Grand Master of the Templars, who was executed. But many of them escaped, you know, changed their identity and hid and went and got into developing other secret societies and spin-offs, including the Masons and the Rosicrucians and so on, and eventually the Illuminati. So there's a lot more to that history, but we're short on time. So jumping ahead, they continued secretly unfolding through various secret societies and the various Masonic lodges and the Priory of Sion and the Merovingian royalty line are involved. Much of this can be read about in my book, The New World Order Empire, which you can find at thenewworldorderempire.com and read more of the details. But the Masons were influential then in the starting of the United States, and we have many symbols that come from that source, and a lot of them are appearing in your award programs, like your music awards, your Grammys, your Oscars, your Olympics, and your Super Bowl. And the performances, you know, embed a whole lot of these Illuminati symbols. Today, there are modern societies, including the Skull and Bones Society at Yale, the Bohemian Society of High Political Influence People that meet every summer in California, the Bilderberg Group that meets annually somewhere in either Europe or the U.S., usually to plan and execute the strategies and influences that these people have in all their interlocking organizations that trickle down from on high to everything from banks to corporations to governments to agencies like the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, and in Britain, the MI6, and Israel, the Mossad, and Mideastern countries, the Muslim Brotherhood, etc. All these have interrelationships, the Council on Foreign Relations, the think tanks like the RAND Corporation. And this is where a lot of the symbols and images that you see embedded in all these corporate logos, advertising, particularly the Super Bowl advertising, but and the entertainment formats like we've been discussing appear. So just to review real quickly, the halftime performance here at the Super Bowl with Katy Perry riding in as kind of the Whore of Babylon of the Beast, and then you know, eventually transforming through her interaction with robots and pawns and dark horses and on the checkerboard and you know, the incredible display of various symbols, ultimately was raised up in the end under the sign of the shooting star. Illuminati symbol includes the five-pointed star, the pentagram, and the pyramid. And, of course, there was the swoosh or shooting star portion behind the star her head as she was being lifted up in the stadium in the air as a goddess ascending, you know, representing, again, the goddess Ishtar, Isis, Columbia, and so forth, that she had the dual star over her head, and the shape behind it was like a pyramid on its side. Now, all this was being done in Phoenix. The Phoenix is another Illuminati symbol. Phoenix is the eagle that's on the dollar bill, and the Great Seal of the United States is actually esoterically a phoenix. And Phoenix is on the 33rd parallel. There's a lot of emphasis for 33, and particularly on the 33rd parallel as it runs through Tyre, the city in Phoenicia, that is where Phoenix, the name Phoenix arises from, but Phoenicia was an ancient esoteric culture in the Mideast. And it also runs through Baghdad, source of Babylon, or, you know, the center of Babylon, and then Afghanistan. It also runs through Dallas, which is the site of the assassination of President Kennedy. So many events and wars and esoteric power resides along the 33rd parallel, and Phoenix is on that parallel as well. And then the date, it was 2-1-15, which is a 9, and if you use 2-1-2015, that's an 11. So both 9 and 11 are involved in the date of the Super Bowl. So all these images come together to in their presentation to add to the hypnosis of the public watching the performance, and anyone watching unconsciously participates in their ritual according to their metaphysics, and those who can look at it with a critical eye, which is how I would recommend looking at it, watching for these symbols and trying to understand how they're being used to manipulate the mindset. And basically what they're doing, they're setting us up for generating fear, for helping, you know, trying to subtly have us accept and worship their images, their goddesses, and their ultimately their Luciferian power, and prepare for disasters that they may be planning to roll out. So we have to start to learn to identify symbols in our entertainment, in our movies, in our logos, like the Pepsi logo, and the many of the corporate logos use a lot of the imagery that we've been talking about. You know, watch for pyramids, all-seeing eyes, 666. You know, when you hold up the OK sign, your three fingers form the three tops of the three sixes and the O. Is the loop part of the six? So that's a common Illuminati a symbol of the two horns, like where you hold up what used to be called the peace sign, or even more if you hold up the little finger and the index finger. These are signs of the horns of the Baphomet, or the, you know, the satanic figure. And you'll see figures from entertainers, you know, the rappers and music stars, movie stars, politicians, including virtually all presidents, many of the other high-ranking officials, all the way to the Pope, using these types of symbols. So watch for these hand signs, or understand that almost all of them participate in secret societies, including the Black Nobility, the House of Rothschild, the House of Windsor, the Rockefellers, the Saudis, the historic British and East India Companies, the Esoteric Societies, the Illuminati, Rosicrucians, Freemasons, Prior of Sion, Opus Dei, Jesuits, Knights of Malta, Bohemian Society, Skull and Bones, the Vatican, National Council of Churches, World Council of Churches, mainline denominations, the Committee of 300, the Club of Rome, on and on, Muslim Brotherhood, Zionist organizations, intelligence organizations like the CIA and the MI6 and so on, NSA, Bilderberg Conference, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Rockefeller Foundation, Tavistock Institute, Brookings Institute, on and on and on. World Wildlife Fund, all the media, all the mainstream media, all the federal agencies, the whole federal government basically is a complete fraud set up at around the time of the Civil War to replace the legitimate government. We have a very, very serious control of much of what goes on in Western society by these powerful groups using their images and chemicals like fluoride and GMOs and aspartame to both hold the public down in their intelligence as and dumb them down with medications and drugs like fluoride and psychotropic drugs, while controlling them through symbols and fear and crises planned and executed by these very powers. So a little summary of how they use symbols and to manipulate and create the psychological operations and the mind control. Thank you for listening, and awareness is the answer. Raising awareness among the people and focusing on love, the reality of love, to enhance our ability to perceive the false reality and free ourselves from it. Have a good day.